This is the High Point Podcast Network. You're listening to HPN.
Greetings, this is Pastor Andy from High Point Church. If you're listening to this podcast, then you've heard a teaching on spirit baptism in one of High Point's worship services or a Power 3 small group meeting, and you want to learn more. To help you grow in your understanding on how to receive spirit baptism, I'm going to interview our lead pastor, Gene Roncone, about how to receive spirit baptism. Gene, I remember about 6 months after I became a Christian, I began to pray for the Spirit's baptism. How did you receive spirit baptism?
I received it shortly after I became a Christian. I was saved from a life of drugs and alcohol. And in a worship service, I remember hearing people pray in their prayer language. And I was so curious about it. I wasn't, put off by it. And they begin to show me in the Bible, and I begin to read the scriptures and seek it. And then when I made the decision that I wanted to have others pray with me to receive it, I got to tell you, I struggled because I struggled with the foolishness of it, of how I would sound or look, or I needed to understand everything intellectually. But, luckily they were so patient in waiting and believing with me that finally, I did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a prayer language, and it has changed my life and continues to change my life. It's part of my prayer habit on a daily basis.
So does a person need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit to be a Christian?
Absolutely not. I know that there are some extreme charismatic or Pentecostal groups that teach that spirit baptism is necessary for salvation, but nowhere does the Bible teach us that. There isn't one verse in the Bible where we're told that spirit baptism is a requirement for salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. And Jesus taught us that spirit baptism is more like a spiritual tool chest to help us be effective in our Christian walk, not something that is needed for salvation. So the answer would be no, it is not necessary for salvation. And someone could have a very healthy relationship with God without being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they are missing out on a whole element of spiritual depth.
Are there any requirements for a person to receive the Spirit's baptism?
Well, obviously the Bible says that the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned, so we know that you have to be a believer. You have to have a genuine conversion experience. And other than that, I would say the two basic necessities are faith and surrender. And surrender is the big one because you're surrendering your vocal cords. You're surrendering a part of you to God. And that's the part that I struggled with. But so I would say salvation, faith, and surrender.
Let's get practical for a minute. What's the first thing a person should do in seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I think the first thing that someone should do is to make sure that there's no obvious disobedience in their life that's hindering them from receiving from God. And I'm not saying get caught up on legalism or being perfect. We all have flaws in our life, but being obedient to Christ is way more important than any kind of spiritual experience that you'd have. So if there is, a willful disobedience in your life, that's gonna be a stumbling block for you. So I would ask myself some tough questions about that. And that's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So what I'm talking about is searching your heart, making sure there's no known rebellious sin in your life, things that God has, constantly convicted you about, but you've blown off, and identify the things that you need God's help with. So I would say up front, that's the first thing that a person would need to look at.
What would you say is the second most important thing?
I say the second thing is you got to resolve some emotional and psychological thinking. If you are a person that kind of thinks logically, there's two common obstacles that people have. One is feeling of unworthiness, and they feel like they've got to beg God for this thing. But the interesting thing about it is that God already gave the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. So it's not your job to beg God to get it, because God has already given it. You just need to receive it. So it's a matter of faith. I like to use the analogy of Peter when Jesus called him to walk on the water and step out of the boat. The water didn't get hard underneath his feet till he stepped out. And once he did that, once he acted in faith, that happened. So, it's a lot like the act of faith it takes when you give God your money or your time or your heart. And spirit baptism is the same thing. It's giving God your voice. The second obstacle is what I would call performance pressure. And I struggled with this, you know. What if these words aren't really from me? What if they're from my mind? Or what do I need to, do I need to say the right word? Or, boy, I heard this guy pray in the Spirit, and it sounded so fluent and so spiritual. So what you got to remember is you receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not contingent on the person praying for you. You know, it's not like that person has to be, you know, some supernatural, you know, apostle or prophet or miracle worker. It is important to have someone pray with you who has received it. But, you know, when you look at the scriptures in Acts chapter 8, the Samaritan revival, when Philip was there, no one received spirit baptism. But when John and Peter followed behind and told them about it, well, then people received. So we know that it's really not who prays for you, getting the right person to pray for you. It's not contingent upon you praying long enough, you know, that if you just pray for hours upon hours upon hours, and some of us seek longer than others, and we don't always understand that, but it's also not contingent on you saying the right words. And that's where people really struggle with that, you know, this word that I have in my heart, or is it me? Is it from God? Is it from something else? So I would say the obstacle that people have to overcome is some of those emotional and psychological obstacles.
Is there anything else that you would recommend someone do who's seeking the Spirit baptism?
I think it's important to ask someone who has received Spirit baptism, or even a few people who have received Spirit baptism, to help pray with you. I mean, we see this pattern in the Bible. Every time people receive Spirit baptism, others were praying for them. And it's important to have people who have the faith to receive that, because they've experienced it themselves. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'd much rather have someone like you who has received it and has found it beneficial than someone who never has. So I would say ask someone. That could be, you know, a member of the pastoral staff. It could be a member of your small group. It could be, you know, anyone in your life who's experienced that element of Spirit baptism, and ask them to pray with and for you.
I remember when I was filled, how nervous I was. I was afraid that I was going to, you know, do something that wasn't biblical, or act out in the flesh, or say or sound weird.
Yes. Oh, man. Me too. And that is so important to overcome that, because, you know, we have a fear that somehow we're going to say something that's fake or that's wrong. And the comfort I have in that fear was, you remember when Jesus said to us, when he helped the disciples develop their expectations about Spirit baptism, he said this: which of your fathers, if your son asked them for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asked for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that verse was so comforting to me, to know that what I'm receiving isn't fake. God isn't the God that's going to trick me. He's going to give me the real thing. So yes, it is me speaking. It's an act of faith, but it's the Holy Spirit giving the utterance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. After that, what would you say is the most important thing to receive?
It would definitely be yielding to the Holy Spirit. He will put supernatural words into your mind, or to your spirit, or maybe, like I like to use the phrase, on the tip of your tongue. But you have to cooperate with the Spirit. You have to speak those words. And that's where faith comes in. And the question is sometimes asked to me, you know, must people speak in tongues if they're Spirit-filled? And the answer is, it's not about you must. It's about that you may, that we can, that God's Holy Spirit moves upon us. So if people are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not a language of the mind. It's not something I'm thinking in my head. It's not a language I've learned in school, like Spanish or French or something that else. No, the Bible says it flows from my spirit. It's a spiritual language. So the Holy Spirit will never force his way on us. And that's so important to remember. You remember that verse in 2 Corinthians 3:17? It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's
freedom.
There's freedom. And so what we have to remember is that the Spirit of God moves upon us, and the Spirit is, when we give him free access, then he moves through us, not just our lives, not just our mind, not just our emotions, not just our intellect, but our speech as well. So there's no must about it. I like to explain it this way. I remember I struggled with, I don't know, were you one that receive the Holy Spirit very quickly, or did you receive it? Did you go through a little struggle as well?
There was a little struggle. Yeah.
Yeah, and me too. And I didn't know what to expect. But here's what's so important to remember: the Holy Spirit moves through us. He flows through us. So an outgoing person usually gets filled with the Holy Spirit in an outgoing way. An introvert usually gets filled with the Holy Spirit in a very introverted way. I set my expectations by what I set around me, and that was a little bit of a stumbling block for me. And that's what makes God so different from the devil. When you read in the New Testament, when the devil came upon people through the form of possession, he takes over them. You remember the stories in the Bible where they cut themselves or they threw themselves in fire. The devil takes over a person. God is different. God flows through us. He flows through your temperament and your personality. So, you know, if you are a very outgoing person, it's probably a good possibility that you're going to get filled in a very outgoing way. Have you seen that in your own experience in ministry when people have received the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit flows through their existing temperament?
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, you bet.
So what practical advice would you give to someone who's in the midst of that yielding moment?
A number of things. The first thing I'd say is you've got to cooperate with the Spirit. When Peter walked on water, I already mentioned, it required him to act. And every element of our life of faith is that way. And Spirit baptism isn't any different. So miracles require faith and surrender. And the same thing is true with Spirit baptism. We speak the words, but the Spirit gives us that utterance. And so we have to cooperate and be willing to open our mouth and speak those words or phrases that the Holy Spirit gives us. The second thing is, I'd say, you know, you only have one mouth. And I see a lot of people struggle with this because they ask God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And they're praying as fast as they can in English. And you can't speak English in tongues at the same time. So at some time, you have to go through that yielding point.
That's good. What else?
I would say be sensitive to the Spirit's utterance. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you sounds or syllables that come to your mind in Spirit-filled prayer. And you've got to remember that the Bible says those come from the Spirit. Those don't come from you. And so you have to be sensitive to those utterances. And I'd also say don't expect the impossible. You know, you're never going to be filled with the Holy Spirit with your mouth closed. And so if you're sitting there quietly and your mouth is closed, you're not going to pray in the Spirit. Just like if I walked up to you on the street and closed my mouth and stared at you, we're not going to communicate, are we?
Do you have any other practical advice?
I'd say you've really got to be open to worship. This was huge for me. When I was young in the faith and filled with the Holy Spirit, I remember the day it dawned on me that this was a language that was a spiritual language when I read what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, and that it was a language that the enemy, the devil, can't hear or can't comprehend or even understand. And it dawned on me that this was heaven's native tongue. And then the next logical conclusion was, that means that this is worship, that praying in the Spirit is a form of worship. And I think if you can look at it that way, it really, really helps you. And then I would add to that, you know, pray in the Spirit daily. When you're filled, it's not just a one-time experience. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that these prayer times bring us in strategic alignment with God's will. And so you furnish the voice. The Holy Spirit is not going to give you a voice. He's not going to, you know, take control of your body and move your tongue and move your lips to articulate words. You have to do that, but He does. He furnishes the utterance.
Pastor, that's great advice. What would you say to someone to help boost their faith when they're seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit?
There's a number of things that should give us a great amount of confidence when we're seeking Spirit baptism. And one is that you can be 100% certain that this is something God wants you to have. I mean, this isn't something you're begging for that you don't deserve. It's not something you're asking for that God never promised. That's why Jesus prepared his disciples for the Spirit baptism and told them to wait for it. That's why Paul could say with confidence in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 5, Paul said, I wish that everyone spoke in tongues. It's important to remember that it's something that God wants you to experience. So another important element that will help give you great confidence is you can know that God will answer your prayers. When Jesus made that wonderful statement about, you know, comparing God our Father with our earthly fathers and say, just like an earthly father wants to bless his child, God wants to bless you. And then Jesus went on to say, you know, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that amazing that Jesus chose the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to articulate and to illustrate the fact that God wants to answer our prayers? So great piece of confidence there that God will answer. And then the last one is that we can know that any miracle has two parts. And this is where a lot of folks miss it. The part God plays and the part we play work in cooperation. Acts 2:4 tells us that God's part is giving you the utterance. Your part is surrendering your vocal cords and articulating what the Spirit is saying through you. And so many times I see Christians beg and plead for hours for the baptism, and they never get it because God's done his part, but they're not surrendering their voice. Does that make sense?
Totally. It definitely does. You know, I remember struggling with the fact that I couldn't understand what I was saying while I was praying in the Spirit. What advice would you give someone who might be struggling with that same thing today?
I'd remind them of two things. First of all, you shouldn't be surprised at that because you don't understand a lot of languages. I mean, if I were to start speaking, I think I know you pretty well enough to know. If I were to start speaking Czech right now, Andy, you wouldn't understand a word I was saying.
I could fake it, but I wouldn't understand.
If I were to start speaking Vietnamese, you wouldn't understand a word I was saying. That wouldn't bother you because you know you don't understand that language. So we've got to be consistent with those expectations. And the Bible teaches that this is a language of the Spirit. And so in a sense, the fact that we don't understand it should not surprise us. But secondly on that point, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, it says that the purpose of tongues is to edify the Spirit and for you to pray in a spiritual language to God. Those two purposes. Prayer in the Spirit was given to strengthen the spiritual side of our being. Remember, you and I are spiritual beings first, physical beings second. The Bible doesn't say that prayer in the Spirit was given to edify your mind, to help you understand things intellectually. No, it was given, Paul said, to edify your spirit. As a matter of fact, Paul even says, in a moment of transparency in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says when he prays in the Spirit, he doesn't have a clue what he's saying. So it shouldn't surprise us that we don't either. So now that does not mean that the concept of Spirit baptism is so complicated it can't be understood. No, that's not what that means. What it means is it has a different purpose. It builds up, strengthens, edifies the spirit, not the mind.
Pastor, this is some great practical advice on someone who's seeking the Spirit baptism. Would you be willing to close us in prayer and maybe pray for those who are seeking right now Spirit baptism?
You bet. Father, I just pray for those that are listening to this podcast right now. They've either heard teaching in a small group setting or they've been interested and now they want to take that next step. And Lord, I pray that you will give them faith. Faith to grab a hold of an element of this Christian walk that can only be received through faith. And trusting you, trusting that you give us good things, that what you promised is true. And I pray that you give them a surrender. Lord, in this Western culture, we're all about control. We're all about holding on, about glorifying the intellect, understanding, comprehending. But Lord, I pray that you will give them the ability to surrender to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus, because you promised it. Amen.
We want to remind you that we're here to help. If you have any questions or want us to join with you in prayer, just let us know.